It's good to be here with you. Amen. Good to be here, Mom. It's good to have my wife with me because Andrew and I have been having to travel without her while she had the knee replacement done. She had, is it 5 or 6 weeks? Which one is it now? Kind of lost track there. In between 5 and 6 weeks, yeah. And so, but she graduated a week ago from the walker to a cane. And so we preached at a church not far from the house. So she went with us last week, and going across the parking lot into the church, I was just teasing with her, and the next thing I know, I felt the cane back here. And I always was kidding about her hitting me with a cane, and I said, "You hit me with a cane." And there was three men of the church standing in the doorway right there. And I walked in the doorway, and I said to them, "Did you see that she hit me with the cane?" And they said, "We didn't see anything at all." And I called them chicken. It's good to be here. You know, I had a preacher friend of mine. He sent me some little, the little Johnny jokes, you know, where the little boy, they always call him Johnny for some reason. If you're Johnny, don't be offended, but I'm just saying that was the way they used to do years ago. And I got one, and I was sharing them with my daughter, Angie, out in Oklahoma City. And I said to her, you know, I was telling her about the little Johnny was in math class, and he was daydreaming, and he wasn't paying attention. So the teacher just said, "Johnny, what is 4 and 8 and 18 and 29? And he said, "ABC, CBS, NBC, and ESPN. That's almost real, amen. And my daughter says to me, "Dad, you got your own little Johnny right here. His name is Trevor." And said, she homeschools. And she said, "Dad, we were talking, you know, and we were into science. And I said to him, 'Trevor, what are the four seasons?' And he just kind of looked at me. And she said, 'Trevor, name the four seasons.' He said, 'You mean like deer season, gun season, bow season?" I said, "You're kidding me, right?" She said, "No, Dad, I'm serious." I still say that boy's got Kentucky in him. I know he wasn't born in Kentucky, but his mother was and his daddy was. So, boy, I've heard about that in a joke. I didn't know my grandson would give that answer, you know, in that day. Take your Bibles. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. And Brother Ted said a minute ago, and for this particular message, you know, we're coming up to Easter Sunday, but every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. And so we're going to Matthew 28, and I want us to read here, but I want to kind of zero in on the angel that was here and what he said, okay? So I'm going to ask, if you're physically able, would you stand in honor of God's word as I read from chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Said, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, 'Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you.' And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'All hail.' And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, 'Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.'" Let's pray. Father, I pray now, Lord, that you would just bless your word. And Lord, enable and help me, as we've already come before you, God, to deliver it in such a way that the Holy Spirit would just use it in each heart here. Lord, do the work that you alone can do, and we'll give you the glory and praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, get the picture of what's happening here in this occasion, okay? And I'm a very visually oriented person, so I kind of get myself in a frame of mind. If you were these women, they were going to a cemetery, the Bible says, and they were going there about dawn toward the first day of the week. And these things just begin to happen, so to speak, that we're going to look at. All these events kind of take place in a brief time there. And when they get there, there is an angel. He gives three basic statements, commands, if you please, to these ladies. That's what I want to zero in on. And the very first one he says to them is in verse number 5. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye." Now you say, "Brother Degger, what was he telling them? Why was he saying that to them?" Well, again, get the picture. They're in a cemetery at dawn. An earthquake takes place. And then all of a sudden, here's an individual sitting there, and his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Now, I got to be honest with you, folks. If I was in a cemetery at about daybreak, and all of a sudden an individual showed up shining like the sun and just bright in his countenance, my feet might want to go the other way. Amen? I mean, just be real about it. Here you are in a cemetery, and this angel shows up shining bright, and there's an earthquake that takes place. And men, there is reason for these women to fear. But he says to them, "Fear not ye." I thought about that. In this first statement, basically what the angel is saying to them, understand the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here he's telling them, fear not, even though an earthquake. Did you know there's something about an earthquake? We just, California now has had two in the last week. And how many of you have ever been in an earthquake? Anybody here have been in an earthquake? Okay, all right. Do you have them in Indianapolis ever? Have you had them? Okay, when I was a kid, I was in a couple of smaller earthquakes. I remember one in particular sitting in the kitchen, and mom had dishes, you know, in the cabinet there, and they begin to rattle, and the next thing you know, they begin to fall over. We live next to a main road in Louisville there, and we thought, well, there was a truck that had a wreck out there or something, but it didn't quit. And so finally, we all ran outside. Now, that was when it really got scary, because when we got outside, the ground was just shaking beneath our feet. Didn't last very long. Seemed like forever, but it was very brief. But there's something about an earthquake that is frightening. You know what the most frightening thing about an earthquake is? There's not one thing you can do about it. It's totally out of your control. The only thing you can do is try to take cover. Get out of a structure, get out of a house. And then, if it's like they have out west, the ground may open up. But it's because we seemingly have no control of the situation. I mean, here a week ago, probably many of you have seen the news clip. One of the live TV stations had news going on that morning early when that earthquake hit, and both commentators went down under the counter while the TV cameras was rolling, and they were speaking, but you couldn't see them. I don't blame them. I don't know that I'd have come out when they came out, because stuff was still shaking and falling from the ceiling. And they were very uneasy. And one of them even said, "Man, we don't know. Is it going to be a bigger one coming?" And they still think about that. We heard this morning that there was an expert out there that told them they probably could expect a larger one than these two within the next 30 years. But did you know in our life there comes earth-shaking circumstances that can affect us kind of like a physical earthquake in a sense, but it's things that are out of our control. There's times in our life when things happen that we just have no control over. And we wonder how, what do I do? How do I handle this? And what do I do? And here, the message to these women was, you may not know exactly what's going on. You may not know exactly what to do next. But this messenger, this angel said this to them. Let me tell you what. He's going to finish his statement and tell them why they don't have to fear. And that's because you've got a living Savior. You've got a Savior that has come forth out of the tomb. You've got a Savior that is alive. And as a result of that, He's the one that can control any situation. This morning, when those earth-shattering and earth-shaking times come in our life, I'm glad I got a living Savior. I'm glad He's not in the tomb. I'm glad He arose victorious. And we can have victory too because He is alive. Not only that, fear not when earth-shaking circumstances come, but fear not even though there might be opposition. When Jesus died, those that were around, they said, well, you know, we better do something or His believers may come and take His body away. So let's seal the tomb and let's post a guard. But they could do all they wanted to do. They could post as many guards as they wanted to. They could seal it however they wanted to. But their opposition was not going to stop our Savior from coming forth out of the grave. He is a living Savior, and whatever they did could not stop Him from coming forth from the grave. Can I tell you something? We live in a day and time when all around us our culture is trying to make us fear. The culture is saying to us, you cannot serve God. You cannot be a witness to God. You better not talk about God. You better not talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, we can and we should. And because, why? Because our Savior has told us to. And He's the one that can give us the victory. And He can enable us to do what He's told us to do. And we don't have to fear. He hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want an interesting study sometime, look how many times fear not or be not afraid is used in the Scriptures. Why? Because we've got a Lord that is in control. Amen. Amen. Hey, don't forget, in the day and time we live with all the gloom and doom and everything that's around, we've still got a God that's on the throne. We still got a Lord that's in control and knows all about it. And so we find, He said, that messenger said to them, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. And then He goes on to the second statement. He says in verse number 6, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Here's the next command. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come, see. Two part there. Let me just kind of break it down for a moment. I thank God for the come. Every time we see come in the Bible, that means it's an invitation. Amen. I'm so glad. Man, the invitation has been extended from His book. Let me say to you, first of all, if you're here and you're not saved this morning, come. Come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. You can come this morning and you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that living Savior that wants to give you eternal life. You can have your life changed. You can be made into a new creature through trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm so thankful for the come of salvation that's extended to us. I'm thankful for the come of service. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's actually a come of serving God and taking His yoke and serving Him. That we can come and we can serve the Lord. You see, throughout the Word of God, that word come is used over and over and over again. And this angel uses it this day because he's saying to the ladies, I've got something I want you to understand. There's something here you need to see. That's the next word. There's something I want you to know. Now I love the next word. Now the next word I really love. See. Now that little word see, here's what that word means. Come and investigate. Can I put it in modern day terminology? Come and check it out for yourselves. Yeah, I'm telling you, He's not here. He has risen. But come and see. Investigate. Find out for yourself. Number one, what did he tell them to come and see? The place where the Lord lay. Investigate the tomb, he's saying. Check out the tomb. See, he is not there. Amen. Did you know what? This is what makes Christianity different than all the other religions of the world. We don't have a grave to go and pay homage to our Lord. We don't have a tomb that's got a body inside of it that's decayed. We've got a Savior that is alive and has arisen from the dead. And that's what makes Christianity different. We serve a risen Savior. Come see. You know, 1975, Denise and I were privileged to go to the Holy Land. And we went to the tomb area there, right next to Gordon's Calvary. There was that garden tomb that they say they believe there'd be the body where body of Jesus was laid. And we went there and we was able to go inside and look. And then while we were there, the guide stepped up in front of us, Brother Dan, and he said, now, the geologist have come inside of this tomb and they have taken samples of the earth. And they said what they found by these samples was that never has a body decayed inside this grave. And I turned around to my wife and I said, well, I didn't need a geologist to tell me that. Duh. If indeed this is the place where the Lord lay, I had God's word on it. Right. Amen. And I know he wasn't in there. And he didn't stay in the tomb. He arose victorious. Amen. And we have a living Savior. And so the angel said, hey, check it out. See, you go in there. He's not there. By the way, let me just throw this in real quick. The stone was not rolled away to let him out. The stone was rolled away to let them in and see that he wasn't there. Now look at the next thing. Not only check out and see the tomb, there's another part. Investigate the scriptures. Check out the scriptures. Or you say, where do you get that at? Well, okay, look what it says right here. In verse number, let me find it here. In verse number 6. For he is not here, for he has risen as he said. His word. Amen? As he said. Well, what did he say? John 2:19. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Amen? We find also that in Matthew 12, as Jonah was in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man. Let me tell you something. Jesus had told him, you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I'm coming forth. I'm going to resurrect. I'm coming alive. By the way, he also said, I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it up again. Hey, you say, do we have a... Check out the scriptures. Investigate the scriptures. It tells you that he's a living Savior. It tells you that he's a living Savior. Boy, as a teenager, I'm so glad that young guy walked in with that Bible. And you know what he said to me basically that day when I couldn't tell him that I was saved. I hoped I was saved. I thought I was saved. He opened that Bible up and he showed me. And basically what he said to me, that, hey, mister, hey, buddy. That's what he called me, buddy. Check it out for yourself. Let me show you what God says. Amen. I'm so glad I checked it out and found out what God said. Amen. Can I tell you something? Check it out. You'll find out what God said. Right. That's what makes a difference anyway.
That's right.
Amen. We got too many people out here, they need salvation, but they're listening to somebody rather than the Word of God.
Right.
Check it out with the Scriptures. Check what He said. Angel said, as he said. Check it out. And then the third thing to investigate, not only check out the tomb, not only investigate the scriptures, but what about the Savior. Amen. And see that he is alive. I love this part. He says, go and tell them, and then tell them to go into Galilee. There they'll see me. You know what I think about? I can't help when I think about investigate and check out the Savior himself and find out that he's alive. I can't help but think about Thomas. First day of the week, they're all met together except Thomas. You know who appears, right? Jesus appears to them. They tell Thomas, you know who we met with yesterday? I'm kind of just paraphrasing, putting my... Jesus. And Thomas says, oh, no. I can't believe that unless I can. I got to see the prince. I got to be able to put my hand in this. I just can't believe that. But I'll tell you what it did cause Thomas to do. First day of that next week, you know where Thomas was, don't you? He was assembling with the others. Amen. And by the way, I always throw this in right here. Don't miss church. On that Sunday you miss church, man, you're going to miss something that you needed to see and hear that day. And Thomas is there, and Jesus appears. I love it because he says, Thomas, here. He knew what Thomas had said. Check out. Here, Thomas, see the... Put your hand... But you know what? He didn't need to. Bible says, Thomas just said, my Lord and my God.
That's right.
I know it's you. You're alive. You're alive.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I know he's alive because when I checked out the scriptures and I heard that he was a Savior that loved and died for me, I called upon him. And I asked him to come into my heart and save me. And the songwriter says it so much better, I guess, than even I could say it. You ask me how? I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. He walks with me. He talks with me. And I talked to him this morning, and I hope you have too. And he talks to me through his word and by the Spirit of God. And I know he lives because he's real right here in this heart. If you don't know him, you can get to know him personally. And he can be your personal Savior and live in your heart. And you can know that the Savior lives personally for you. Oh, the angel says to these two ladies. Well, he says here, now this course is the, we see the first one was the power of his resurrection. Nothing can hold him back. And then we see the proof of his resurrection. He wasn't there. That's what that statement was all about. Now we see the purpose of the resurrection in the next statement. Now here's the next statement he says to them. He says in verse number 7. Now after you've checked it out, you've seen for yourself. And then in verse 7 he says, and go quickly and tell. Once you know him, and once he lives within you, I'm going to tell you what, we've been given a command. Go and tell. But wait a minute. He didn't just say, go and tell. There's another word in there. Now, he didn't say it like this. Now, ladies, I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of stuff to do, no doubt. And whenever it's convenient for you, ladies, would you just kind of make your way back to the others and let them know? No, that wasn't what he said at all. And he didn't say, you know, this is an important thing to do, but you know, I understand that there's a lot of other stuff maybe. No. He said, there's one thing I want you to do right now. You go quickly. There's no time to waste. You go quickly and you tell. You know, there's a reason for that. Because disciples did not fully understand all that was transpiring at that time. You know, they thought he was coming to set up a kingdom on earth at that time. And so they were, you know, we know that we have the two on the road to Emmaus, and they don't fully understand until Jesus meets with them and expounds the scriptures to them and tells them. And so he's saying, it's urgent, it's important that the rest know that he's alive, that he's not in the tomb, that he's not dead, but he lives. So go quickly and tell. Folks, if you're in here and you're saved, we've been given a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it's something that needs to be done urgently and quickly, because people are dying and they need to know there's a living Savior. But if you'll permit me right now, I just again got a mental picture of this whole thing here. I can see the... Now, you think you'd be a little bit excited if you met with an angel? You think that if you were one of these ladies, or both of these, if you were just one of the ladies that were there, and you were told by an angel that was radiating, he's alive. The Savior's not dead anymore. He's not in there because he's alive. He's living. I can't help but believe that they got a little bit excited. I can't help but believe, because he says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the head and from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Verse 8 says it all. They walk away from there, and one says to the other one, what do you think about that, Mary? I don't know. That's a lot to take in, I'll tell you that. You think we ought to go back and tell the others? Sometimes that's how we go about telling folks. No. I can see him when he says, go quickly and tell. The Bible says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Amen. Watch this. And did, what's the next word? Run. I can see them, man. I don't think the roadrunner could have caught them. I think they were literally tearing out, brother. They were going down through there because it says they did run. Amen. Now picture this. They're running. And they're trying to get back to the disciples. And they're running along, and all of a sudden, they put the brakes on. You know why? Because there, standing in front of them, is Jesus. It's no longer just what the angel said. Here he is. All hail. That means it's well. Everything's well. It's all good. And the Bible says they fell. They fell at his feet and worshiped him. They worshiped him at his feet. Because that's the place of humility. And that's the place of recognizing his majesty at his feet. And they worshiped him. Just who he was and what he had done. Now watch though. Then he speaks to them. He says, all hail. And then it says in verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now you thought those ladies ran before this. I think they got a sudden burst of energy now. Even more so. Amen? I think they really put the speed on now. Why? Because the Savior himself, he had told them what to do. They had seen him. It was no more what the angel said. It was what he said. And they were following him and obeying him. And he said the same thing. You go tell that I'm alive. Now watch. And they get to where the disciples are. Now, it may just be me, but I know what I do after I run. Now, you may not. You may be in good shape. I don't know. But after I run, and I can see these two ladies when they get back to the other disciples, and one man said, Peter, you'll never guess what just happened. I'm telling you. We went to the cemetery. No. Let me tell you. Peter, just what she was saying there. But I'm telling you, you'd never in a million years guess what went on there. I mean, we were there, and all of a sudden there was an angel. Yeah, she's right. It was an angel. An angel was there, and he told us that Jesus wasn't there. And yeah. But we looked inside, Peter. He wasn't in there. He's gone. But that isn't half of it, Peter. You know what? As we was running back here, guess who we saw? Guess who we talked with? It was him. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Amen. I read that account. I pictured that in my mind. I could not help but think this. What happens to our excitement? Where does our enthusiasm go? We've got a living Savior. We've got a Lord that is in control, that had victory over death, hell, and the grave. We know the answer for eternal life. It's through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. We've got a story to tell to the nations. And God says, go tell. And the angel said, go tell. Go quickly and tell. They need to hear. Why? Because this gospel must spread throughout the world. You know what the gospel is? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the gospel story. And outside these doors, all around here and in Indiana and in Kentucky and all over the world, there's people that need to hear He's alive. And when they say, how do you know? Well, number one, I know because the scriptures tell me. And number two, I know because he lives right here. And I know him personally. And I'd like to introduce you to him. I want you to get to know him. And you can have eternal life. And you can go to heaven because our Savior lives. He's alive. And if we'd get some excitement sometimes about us and the story we got to tell, it'd affect other people. Yeah, it affected disciples, that's for sure. Oh, yes. And I'm telling you what, we've got a story. You say, well, Easter's coming and that's... Oh, no. That's a story we tell 365 days a week. I mean, a year. That's a story we tell all the time. And it's an urgent story. It's an urgent message. For two reasons. Number one, people are dying every few moments somewhere in the world. And Jesus is coming. And he said, go tell. Go tell. You know that I'm alive. Now you go tell somebody else. He's alive. May the Lord help us. I think our time is drawing close. We need to be busy telling folks. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His... help me out here. Go ahead. I have those moments every now and then. And the day of His appearing shall come at last. He lives. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. That's your story. That's your story. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Let me speak to Christians for just one moment here. Maybe there's Christians here today that as a saved person, maybe you've not been telling the story. Maybe you've not been sharing that story with others like you know you should. Maybe you've lost the excitement or the zeal of telling others. Then today, why don't you just say, Lord, I want that. God, I want to start telling. I want to go quickly and do what you've told us to do. Because we've been commanded, the Great Commission is to go. Go, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, all Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. Go. Go and tell. Christians, are you telling? Then if you're here this morning and you're not saved, why don't you come this morning and let him be your Savior, your living Savior. And you can say he lives within your heart. Why don't you come and accept him this morning? Let's stand together with our heads bowed, please. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to be singing page number 271, Lord, I'm Coming Home. Some have already come, and if you want to come this morning, I invite you to step out and come. Father in heaven, thank you. Oh, thank you for the resurrection of our blessed Savior. Thank you for a living Savior today. Thank you for a message that we have that we can share and tell this world. That Jesus Christ is alive. He's not in a tomb. He's not dead, but he's alive and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the salvation we have in him. And know that we, Lord, have his control, his power available to us because of the resurrection. Now, I pray, Lord, you'd bless this invitation. Use it. Lord, if there's one here in the midst that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray they'd come this morning and let a worker take the Word of God and show them how they can walk out those doors saying, he lives within my heart. Bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.